You're listening to Free Indeed Radio, the podcast from Free Indeed Ministries.
Free Indeed Radio is a place for all who struggle to reconcile same-sex attraction and a relationship with God. Our goal is not to condemn, shame, fear, or judge your life or lifestyle, but to bring same-sex attraction and sexual identity into spiritual light through the Word of Jesus Christ, while equipping you to love your neighbor and yourself. Today on Free Indeed Radio.
So lifestyle more addresses your behaviors and the ways you express yourself.
Yes.
Less than who you are to God.
Absolutely.
Who you are to God and your lifestyle are two different things.
And now here are your hosts, Brandon and John.
Hello, welcome back to Free Indeed Radio with John, AJ, and Brandon, and here we are talking about today's topic, which is life versus lifestyle. What exactly does that mean? What does it mean in ministry to same-sex attracted? What does it mean to you as somebody who ministers to people in general? And here we go. So, John.
Good morning, Brandon.
Hi.
Good to see you. Hey, Jay! Good to have you with us.
Hey, guys. This is cool.
I know. I love it.
I like this.
Well, I want to give you some thoughts to talk about. So I think as we go through this whole topic, we'll put together a cohesive thought and it'll help people, like you said, to know how to approach a life and not a lifestyle. So let's talk.
I feel like a lot of people get the two mixed up. And I feel like this is... I feel like the difference between a life and a lifestyle is what people expect. You know, like, these are the people you should hang out with. Like, you get it a lot in high school. And, like, a life is you, like, what you do, you know.
Well, let's talk about it. Let's go through some subject matter and see what we conclude. And, of course, audience, whatever you conclude.
Okay, so then life versus lifestyle, what does that mean to...
So what is a life,
to us,
right?
Yeah, what is a life?
So a life is the life that you live as yourself, within yourself. That
the one that no one else knows?
Yes. You
between you and God?
Yeah. Between your ears, between you and God. What's who you are? That is what I would define as life.
The person who everybody sees and simultaneously the person that God loves.
Yeah.
Right.
So the, like, God loves me for, you know, I am this life, you know, Brandon, who I am, like, God loves me as the whole of who I am. That is the life of in this context. That's what we're talking about.
I think you nailed it. Yeah.
Right.
So then lifestyle, what is lifestyle?
Well, lifestyle is what we choose to accept into our lives that we follow or act out in or participate in. So if you're an artist, your lifestyle is going to be more centered around art and doing things like that.
Those are your friends.
Yeah, your friends, your hobbies, your likes, your dislikes.
Kind of everything rotates around it.
It really does, and that makes a lifestyle. And then there are presumed things about people, and that's what other people think they see in you, or before they even know you. That's when they're sizing up judgment.
They're
of you.
Doing the
yeah,
like
so that that's really a lifestyle. What do I do with life outside of me or around me?
What people think almost.
And it's part of what people think,
yeah.
Because you do start to live a certain way, you act a certain way, you become who
you almost do what
others
people
know
expect,
you as.
Yeah.
Yeah, so your life expands into a lifestyle.
I've noticed that with, like, when we were at our old job, you almost fit into a... I act different at my old job than I did around you guys. I don't know if that would fall under lifestyle, but I don't know. I guess...
That's kind of a... character issue, but
characteristics and environment type
yeah.
of thing.
But lifestyle is really who you are out there in the world.
Okay.
What you do, what you relate to, what you respond to.
So let me kind of drive that home. So if you were to be a person here in Central Oregon, you hunt, you fish, you live on a ranch, you own a gun, you drive a big truck, and you chew. People will probably assume that you have that you are of the country lifestyle.
Yeah.
Country.
Also known as redneck.
Right. So lifestyle more addresses your behaviors and the ways you express yourself.
Mm, yes.
Less than who you are to God.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Who you are to God and your lifestyle are two different things.
Right. And your lifestyle should eventually reflect
what God
that nature of God, of course.
Well, and that's the process of sanctification that the Lord takes us through, in which he kind of chips away little pieces of our, well, not necessarily chips away pieces of our lifestyle, but moreover brings outside what has already been transformed on the inside. Because
right.
when we become a Christian, we instantly are dead and then brought to life as a new creature. So that new creature is exactly the full representation of who we are to God.
Right.
The real you.
And then a Christian lifestyle.
Yeah.
We'll assume. Now, in this case, in this topic, of course, we're talking about somebody with the same-sex mentality, which goes to the gay lifestyle and what society has created to make people feel good about themselves, to make them feel accepted, to create a world of people that will allow you to come in and say you're okay. So lifestyles also build, they build bridges into something, but they also create battle lines against other things.
Yeah, we see that a lot.
Such as the gay versus the church.
Yeah.
And those are two lifestyles that don't work well together because neither one truly fully understands the other.
That's what I love about this ministry is we're trying to build that bridge between these two people, like you said, that just have drawn pretty much lines in the sand.
Right.
And I like that we're trying to make that bridge.
Right.
So I guess the next question we would be asking then is, when meeting somebody new, what exactly is it about them that creates the sense of offense or acceptance? Is it the life of the person, who they are? Or is it their lifestyle, their mode of thinking, you know, the way they express themselves, who they are to you? What is the aspect of them that creates the offense?
Well, with that, it all depends on how far you've gone into meeting them, of course, because we can look at somebody and make assumptions about them and decide that they don't match up with me, so I'm not going to like them, or they look really nice, so I really want to approach them. Once you begin to talk and you've, again, made another decision about what their lifestyle is, the offense comes in what we assume. Because even if a person were to directly tell you that they're gay, you assume things about that lifestyle that may not be true in their lives.
I used to do that a lot.
You know, the natural thing for people to do is just assume that if a guy says that they're gay, that they're automatically sleeping with other men, and we don't want that to happen. Anyway, so that's what creates the offense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you automatically kind of distance yourself with those preconceived notions.
Well, it's that ask that there's something about that person's lifestyle that rubs up against the battle lines that you've drawn in your lifestyle that has, you know, these two opposing sides that have said that person, this thing about them is wrong.
Yeah.
It's wrong, it's gross, it's offensive.
So I want nothing to do with them.
I want nothing. If anything, I can reject them, and that'll be totally okay.
And yeah, because I.
So the offense would be the gay thing.
I know. Yeah.
Okay, right? Because that's kind of what we're talking about
in that context. Yeah.
Right. So let's say that in this case, that we're going to assume that this is a person that says that they're gay, or you've assumed or whatever, let's say that they are. I think the other part that gets immediately broken is that we don't assume that they're Christian.
Oh, yeah.
Or that they could possibly know God, right?
You get that
so
a
then,
lot.
Then when you've got the gay part figured out, do you have acceptance or not? And if you do have acceptance, to what level? To what level would you accept that person?
Well, and that goes straight into, can I accept that person? And this is the question that we get asked a lot at Free Indeed is, can I accept that person and not condone what they do?
Right.
And so that's part of the offense is nobody, especially in the church, you know, wants to say that homosexuality or, you know, two people of the same sex having sex is all right. Nobody even wants to go there at all, which is, that's okay because, you know, that's...
It's just awkward for people because we don't really talk about it in the churches.
Right, but that is exactly what people assume that they're doing whenever you are trying to make friends with somebody who is same-sex attracted. As soon as you find that out, it's like, I better not be friends with this guy. Otherwise, people are going to think that I'm a gay lover and that I support gay marriage and all of this stuff.
There's a whole right. bunch of preconceived notions that come in when, like what you did there. It's true because people will do that. They'll make lines where they'll make the connections where there really is no
right
connection to be made. Like
again, assuming things.
Yeah.
And again, so far, what you have not assumed is that they might have a relationship with the Lord.
Yeah.
So we've completely missed out on the
who
God side of what we're supposed to be doing as Christians, which is to reach out. So let's get to a little bit farther. I'm going to take this in a little bit direction. So you know that they're gay. You made that assumption. You made the assumption that they don't know the Lord. So now is your opportunity to show them Christ. So Brandon, what would be your opening comment from that point or statement? What would you say to them?
Me being me or me being somebody who has assumed they don't have a relationship with Christ?
Well, let's take it as they don't have a relationship and you've just met them. Your 10 or 15 seconds has gone by to do all of what we've talked about for 15 minutes. So now what would you say to them, in leading them to Christ, I guess?
Well, first off...
Or to show them Christ.
To show them Christ, I mean... Honestly, I wouldn't say anything about their lifestyle. I wouldn't even go there.
Right.
Because their lifestyle, what they do and what they practice, has nothing to do with how God sees them. Has nothing to do with how much God loves them.
Right. And that was kind of goes to my next thought is, you know, are you going to talk to them about what they're doing in private?
No.
Right? That's the best answer, right?
Because that's not my business.
Right.
It doesn't matter. Like, nobody, you know, nobody else in the church community assumes that I, you know, that I don't have a relationship with Christ or that I'm in some sort of an immoral relationship. So why should I push that onto somebody else when I find out that they're same-sex attracted?
Right. And I think that goes to back to what we really believe in and follow here at Free Indeed. That when you automatically start asking questions about the bedroom, you've completely skipped over the person that you're talking to.
Yeah,
you're no longer talking to this person and showing the Christ in you to that person. You are now trying to...
dissecting them.
Yeah, you're just dissecting and trying
you're dissecting
to get
their lifestyle.
Private information yeah. that's none of your business, that has no basis
yeah.
in fact or love, right?
I just met you, and I just want to know what's...
What
you know,
you're doing in bed with
yeah,
your boyfriend or your
yeah.
stranger guy that you met.
And I feel like, right, that if you do that, you're going to build a big, big wall.
Well, that's
really
exactly
fast.
The battle line that we were talking about
yeah.
in the beginning. How do you approach this person? So again, what we're not going to do is we're not going to talk about their private life. Let's just be Christ to them. What does that mean? What does that look like?
I would say just do what Christ did. He hung out with people. He loved them. Like, my favorite thing is the girl at the well. I mean, where are your accusers? They aren't here.
Mm-hmm. So basically, I guess, guys, I would ask you, are you going to talk about who Christ is to you?
I believe that would be the
more effective witness, because saying all these things that Christ can do for you, well, okay, that has a place and it has a point. Mm-hmm. But if I'm saying Christ can heal you of your gayness, and, you know, Christ, Jesus loves you so much and he wants you to quit sucking wiener, you know, right.
That's going to go really well.
Yeah, yeah, like you've instantly shut that person off, and at that point he really doesn't care what you have to say about Christ, because you want to change him. You want to change what he is doing. You want to change his behavior, and right. That's not what Christ is out to do. Christ, people want to hear what Christ has done for me.
Right.
So if that were to come up in conversation, or if we were to talk about that.
Which is what we're doing.
Exactly. I would talk about what Christ has done for me.
Right.
And all the things that he's protected me from, which we can, you know, we can share testimonies or whatever in a later podcast. But
that'd be cool.
Well, and I think, too, it goes along with, are you going to tell them what Christ is and who Christ is to them?
The non-Christian communities, based off what they've seen in, I don't know what you want to call it, TV or just
the
like
media,
the
sure.
media, it's a completely different view of what really, like what Christ is.
Right.
Because to me, Christ is that perfect dad who will never, never stop loving you, never forsake you.
Right. I mean, so let me pull this together a little bit, because what you guys have said is great. And I agree with you. Yes, I'm going to tell that person that what the Lord has done for me.
Yeah.
I want them to know just a little snippet. I don't have to tell them my whole life, and I don't have to lay out everything. Because
every time you see it, you talk about it.
Yeah, it's, you know, pearls before swine kind of thing, really, if you go too far. But I do want them to know what Jesus did for me. And just tell them, hey, you know what? I just want you to know that Jesus loved me so much that he never let me go. And so he was always there for me. And then just before just to finish this thought, are you going to tell them what Christ is to them? Well, maybe not yet, because the what of God isn't as important as the who of God.
Yeah.
Right now, I just want you to know who God is to you, who Christ is to you. He is your friend. He is your God. And he just wants to meet you where you're at.
Exactly.
That's kind of,
exactly.
Does that sound right, guys? Kind of
yeah,
I think
all
you
that
nailed,
together?
Nailed it.
Okay. So, well, let me just, I guess, taking that thought a little bit farther, what would you tell them about Jesus as it relates to them right in the moment that you're in? Tell me what you would say.
Like to them?
Yeah, you're in the moment, you're talking to me. What are you going to tell? You have 15 seconds to tell me what.
Well, normally, like, when I talk to someone, it's usually in a negative connotation, and they're usually talking about how, like, people just tell me I'm going to hell, and I'm like, trust me, God loves you. That's the one thing I always drive home. Like, they think that this God's this angry dude wanting to just hate you the first chance he gets. God loves you, trust me.
So you're in the moment, if that was going to be your end thing, is to stop believing the media about God. And what you've heard and seen, and know that he loves you.
If God didn't love us, we wouldn't be here.
Yeah. What do you think, Brandon? I mean, what's your kind of, if that had to be your moment?
Well, in the moments that I've gotten to do that.
Yeah. You have.
It's been really amazing to just sit there, look the guy in the eyes as he's like trying to hit on me, and just be like, you know, and just not even phasing me, and having just sitting there having a conversation. Like, you don't, in that moment, you don't even really necessarily need to talk about God. You just need to be with that person. And if it's gonna, you know, just be
because
with them.
God's with you.
Be interested in them. Find out what they like to do. Find out who they are.
Find out what their favorite color is.
Find out what their favorite music.
Yeah.
When the Spirit led the conversation that way, he actually brought up, in this particular instance, that his friend was an ex-Jehovah's Witness, and that her parents and family completely condemned him, told him he was going to hell and all that, and he just didn't want to have anything to do with that. And I let it off with an apology.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The first words out of my mouth about Christ was, dude, I am so sorry that those people did that to you. I am so sorry because you deserve better. That was not the love of Christ that these people were displaying to you. And if they had any kind of a loving bone in their body, they would not have done that. If they knew the Christ of the Bible, they would not have done that.
And I think that's really cool that you would say that, Brandon, because if you look at our brochure, you know, on the back, I put my own apology because, as you know, and as everybody knows, I'm the gay guy in the group. But God never left me or turned away from me, never did any of that. And there is the apology because it's important for people to know that that's not how anyone should be treated. Yeah. I should have never been treated the way I was. And I don't want to treat anybody else that way.
Well, and it's so healing.
It is. I think so. It brings people together. It puts your head back together. And I think that that last question really takes us back to the beginning of this conversation. In that moment, are you approaching the life, the person, or the lifestyle, that thing that you found offensive when they opened their mouth? So I think it's a great way to really be aware of what you're going to say before you say it. You know, don't open your mouth and have garbage fall out. You know, let's bring some love and confirmation.
Exactly. Well, then what followed with that was simply this, is that Jesus loves you right now.
As you are.
Just as you are. There is nothing about you that you need to change for God to love you, because he loves you just as you are right now. And I would challenge anybody on this planet to bring me something different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Contrary to popular belief, God's love is not conditional. Yeah. Believe it or not, it's probably hard to believe.
Well, the only agape. I guess, and if we're gonna throw the one condition that everybody loves to say, oh yeah, it's got one.
Oh,
the only one condition would be what?
He wants a relationship.
That we that's accept it, right? Yeah. But that's really not a condition. That's choice, not a condition. It's your choice to accept. So let's take even that out of anybody's hands to be able to take it from somebody. You know, when we put conditions on things or rules or regulations. Yeah. We're just trying to take it away from God and hold it in our hands and say, if you do well, I'll give you God's condition
you
can have God. And well, that's what too many churches have done. Too many of these people that you see on TV, it's horrible.
Yeah. Well, you even take it outside of directly the religious context and the acceptance context. God loves you regardless of whether you accept it or not.
Yeah, he's going to
Well, yeah. But I'm saying,
and that's the point I was trying to drive.
You are correct. There is no condition on that, and the acceptance comes as in he's giving us an opportunity to receive it. But you're right; the forgiveness is already there. Jesus already died. Your sins are already forgiven.
Just accept it.
All you have to do is accept that and let him live through you. So I think that really takes us to kind of my next thought is as we're Christians, we're called to bring the message of hope and the good news of Christ to the entire world. And in Mark 16:15, which is called the Great Commission, and Jesus said to them, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. That's the ESV guys that I was quoting out of. And I think in the entire world means everyone that we come in contact with in our daily lives. People get too confused. They think, well, I've got to become a missionary. I got to do what you guys are doing and send out podcasts and have a website to go to all the world. Well, no.
No, everybody.
What about the neighbor?
Yeah, your neighbor, like your literal neighbor. And I mean, put neighbor into the most simplest context you can. It's other people.
Yeah.
And you think God works in the facet of relationships. And he wants to communicate love. What better way to communicate love than to people that you have a relationship with?
And two guys, in Matthew 28:19, if you read that, he states it just a little bit differently, but it's the same thing. But the key to this that I want want everybody to understand is that we do not see any exclusion for people that we don't like.
Yeah.
It doesn't say go and tell all the world unless you don't like them, or if they're gay, or if they offend you, or if they bother you, or whatever it is. It says go and tell everyone the good news.
Yeah, some people just try to like skew that, the whole, you know, tell the good news to just people. And it's like, if I'm trying to relay what you were saying, but basically the whole don't tell someone you don't like. Jesus literally said, if someone slaps you, give them the other cheek. I mean, that doesn't say love the people that hate you.
Right.
Yeah.
And we don't see that we're called to tell anybody about their lifestyle.
No.
Or their life, really.
Right.
Or whether or not you approve of them. It doesn't talk about, tell them about approval of God of them. You are not God enough to approve of them for God,
yeah.
Right? It doesn't. The Great Commission isn't to approve of them for God, right?
Let me do God's job.
Yeah. So Jesus just calls us to proclaim him to them, and that means to all. And, of course, it's through the Holy Spirit that we're called unto God the Father, and through what Jesus did on the cross and his grace into salvation, right?
Well, and this goes back to episode 2, where, you know, we're talking about stuff that you don't say to people. And so...
That must have been good.
AJ missed out on that one, but that's
But
that's
you guys
right.
got to hear it, though. That's what counts.
And with this whole life versus lifestyle thing, when you talk to somebody and you say something that's like, well, is the Lord calling you to get out of that lifestyle yet?
Yeah.
It's such a condemning question. And it's, you are, in, that is exactly a perfect example of, I want to change your lifestyle because you offend me. That is not the love and acceptance of Christ that says, I see past your lifestyle to the broken and hurting person that God loves. And mm-hmm. I want to touch that. I want to touch you as a person, and I want you to understand how much God loves you. The line that's on all of our stuff means, all we want to change about you is your mind about God.
Yes.
We want to reach straight through that wall that you have erected with the loving hand of Christ. Touch the hurting heart that's been broken by rejection, been broken by people's words.
By your family, church.
All of that.
Anybody and everybody,
yeah.
Sure.
And we want to get straight to the heart of who you are. Because you, as a person in this world, probably have been told that God hates you and that he's condemning you to hell. And that, you know, if you don't get this fixed about you, then you need to... Then God doesn't like you and he doesn't
right.
accept you. Which is complete bullcrap. And that's why we're saying the difference is when you touch someone's life, you touch that person for Christ.
Right.
When you approach a lifestyle and you try to change the lifestyle...
God is nowhere there with you at that point. Like, I mean, he's with you, but I mean, your motives are your own at that point. Because
yeah,
like you said,
you're
offended by their lifestyle, so
you're trying to make that person better for Jesus.
Right.
You're not trying to bring that person to the grace of the cross. You're trying to make them acceptable before Christ. Or you're
Decided.
Simply flat out rejecting them because that person isn't good enough for me. I don't want to touch that because it stinks.
Mm-hmm.
Well, guess what? You stank pretty bad when Jesus first touched you to wash you with his blood. So keep that in mind the next time you're approached or in the same vicinity of somebody who is flamingly and flamboyantly gay.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
what should go through your head is, wow, God loves that guy a lot.
Right.
Maybe I can have a chance to tell him how much God loves him. It's so radically different from what's been going on in society where the church and the gay community have been just isolating themselves both ways.
Right.
And what we do is we lay the cross in between those battle lines to let people walk across and interact. Because really the only interaction is stuff like the Westboro Baptist Church, who are like, God hates fags, rah, rah, black sheep. And
yeah.
we're saying, go away, you nasty little troll people.
Go under your bridge.
Go back under your bridge.
Well, and two, I I think based on the question before, just be mindful to remember that we're often making assumptions about a person's sex life, not about just their life, which sex life doesn't even go to lifestyle necessarily, but it can. And then think it's okay about the assumptions of offense or acceptance. So the reality is we need to stop at their life, which is what we're saying here. They are, and the Bible says this, that they are children of God awaiting the opportunity to become sons of God. And, you know, in Ephesians 1:5, it says, and I want to explain this a little bit after I read this, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will. And predestined, folks, don't get confused by that. That doesn't mean that some are going to get it and some aren't. You weren't chosen from before to get it or not. God's love is for all. For God so loved the world. John 3:16. But what predestined really means in that context, the proper context, is that you were known before the foundations of the earth and given to all who choose to accept Jesus' forgiveness. In other words, the forgiveness is given. It was given before the foundations of the earth. It was set up to be for everybody who would choose to do it. That's what predestined means. It doesn't mean anybody's ever left out.
Yeah.
And that's unto for the purpose of his will. And I think one good point, too, is even though we might see, you know, the guy in the dress or, you know, the girl that is trying to look like a man. And, you know, I've seen him with mustaches and sideburns and all of that. The other thing we want to make sure people are mindful of is that they may have a relationship with Christ. But because you've made assumptions about what they're doing in private, we begin to do that. And that's a very dangerous place because then you begin to speak in judgment, and that is exactly against what God says you're allowed to do. And we're not speaking from a point of grace. And as you know, with Free Indeed, we start at a point of grace and we end at a point of grace. And anything beyond that is God's work, not ours.
Mm-hmm. How do we change the world?
One hug at a time, AJ. Let's go for it.
Mm-hmm. So
can we approach a life and not a lifestyle? You think you got a better picture of that? I think.
And I feel like you, it's basically you. We all said the whole time, just when you approach somebody, it doesn't matter what you think of them. You should just, when you approach somebody, anybody, just approach them with love.
And grace.
That's the best way to do it. Yeah. I mean, of course, with the grace and with, grace and love and. You shouldn't go wrong at all.
Jesus loves this person, so
who am I to hate him?
So who am I to be repulsed by them? Because Christ loves this person, so why shouldn't I? So, and with that, we're going to close. So thanks, everybody, for listening to Free Indeed Radio. We'll see you next time with our next topic. And why don't you go out and change somebody else's mind about God?
Thank you for listening to Free Indeed Radio. Send us your prayer requests, comments, and suggestions to freeindeedco@gmail.com. We would love to hear how the Lord has touched your life and rejoice with you. Don't forget to sign up to follow us by email on the website and get our app from the Google Play Store. Free Indeed is listener-supported, and we invite you to come check out how you can support us through our website at www.freeindeedco.com. Free Indeed Ministries believes that your tithes belong to your local church, and we receive your donations as offerings to support the mission of Free Indeed to advance the gospel of grace throughout the world. The Lord bless you as you go into your world and change someone else's mind about God.